This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Beth Morrison, CEO of Our Family Services. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you today.
Beth, Our Family Services' mission is to eliminate homelessness and strengthen our community. Could you tell us a little bit about homelessness in Tucson?
In our community, the face of homelessness is often that of an older man who's panhandling on a corner. And yes, these individuals do deal day in and day out with homelessness, but the real face of homelessness are young adults and families, often families with young children. And that's the population that we serve at Our Family Services. Tucson has a really serious homeless issue. It's just something that we don't always see because we tend to see, again, those individuals on a street corner. But every night, there are hundreds of individuals who don't know where they're going to sleep or are sleeping in unsafe conditions. And with COVID and the rising issue of evictions, those concerns are mounting. On an average night, our family provides housing for approximately 455 individuals. That's adults and children. And last year, we provided housing for over 2,200 individuals.
For people who have never come close to dealing with homelessness, what are some of the pathways that might put a person there where they find themselves without a place to live?
For many of the people who are experiencing homelessness, and certainly those that we serve at Our Family Services, they're hardworking people. They're people with jobs, but unfortunately low-paying jobs. Sometimes folks are working two jobs, which just doesn't cover all of their living expenses. The ideal is that no one of us pays more than 30% of our income on housing. But for many that we serve, their rent eats up over 80%, in some cases 90% of their income. And that obviously somebody can't live that way, right? I mean, if most your rent is taking up 80 to 90% of your income, how do you pay for food and utilities and gas and childcare and medical bill and all those kinds of things? And so really it's you know, the lack of revenue, the lack of income, that often is what puts people into having to experience homelessness. Certainly, you know, mental illness, substance abuse, chronic poverty, domestic violence, all of those kinds of things contribute to homelessness. But for many hardworking folks, it's just the fact that they cannot generate enough income to support living independently and being housing secure.
And with housing prices shooting up in Tucson and all over the country, as they have been for some time now, it just seems like affordable housing is nowhere in sight. Do you have any comments about that in terms of where Tucson is with addressing affordable housing and homelessness?
Well, you're correct. We definitely do lack affordable housing here in Tucson. Even though there's a fair amount of building happening, it's not for low-income individuals and families. It's for middle to upper-class individuals where we often see the housing boom happening. There are many organizations such as Our Family Services who are working together and looking at how do we best approach the eviction crisis we're currently facing, as well as how do we entice and get affordable housing to come into the community at greater numbers. There is a task force that we're a part of that's looking at evictions and what do we do as far as a system to try to help individuals as well as to help landlords who are dealing with this crisis. Also having conversations with the city and the county about to incentivize developers to increase affordable housing, and also, you know, making attempts at the state level and the federal level to really look at affordable housing as a great need and really a crisis across the country. Right now, it was estimated by a couple different researchers that over 20% of renters in the state are at risk of eviction, and that's pre-COVID estimate. With some recent work that's been done, it's estimated that here in Pima County, that it's 42% of renters risk eviction. And that's about 74,000 households, individuals and families. So we are in a crisis state when it comes to the lack of affordable housing in our community. And it's something that we need to continue to work on and address right now.
Beth, could you tell us about the Photo Voice Project?
I love to talk about this project, so I'm so glad that you wanted to give us the opportunity to introduce it to the community. The project was just so special, and we are so grateful to the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona for making it happen. Photo Voice is an internationally known modality in which people, usually those with limited power, use photo images to capture aspects of their lives and experiences to share with others. These images bring the realities of the photographer's lives to the public and policymakers with an end goal to create social and system change. So at our family, the focus of our project was on single moms who were receiving housing assistance from our family. With the assistance of a volunteer local photographer, Veronica Quigley, we had three moms complete the project. We had eight start and three complete. But the one story that I want to share that I think really highlights the project in a whole is from our one participant, who I'm going to call Julia to protect her confidentiality. She became homeless after experiencing domestic violence and ending that relationship. She and her three children needed housing assistance. They found themselves homeless, and that is where we then stepped in. So she became part of one of our programs for single moms. Shortly after Julia began to receive services from our family, her young child tragically died. She, of course, was devastated and was really suffering from depression, which made it additionally difficult for her to find employment and work towards financial stability, which would ultimately lead to her housing stability. So Julia decided to join the Photo Voice Project when it was presented to her from her case manager as a way to complement the grief counseling that she was receiving. Her photography tells her story from the depth of her grief to her struggle to be there for her two children, having to rely on public transportation, mobile dental clinics, and other systems. She did an incredible job of capturing both the challenges of her life along with the deep love of her children. One of her photos is laying in a kind of a selfie of laying in a patio chair at a mobile dentist clinic outside underneath the carport. Another photo was pouring down monsoon rain while she and her children were waiting for the bus after grocery shopping and having all of their bags and being soaking wet. She did really just such an incredible job. She had quite an eye. And when our project was over, we had a reception and an exhibit. And she was there with her two children and some other supportive family members, along with our supporters and donors. And she was just beaming. She came up to me and told me, and this is an actual quote, "I can't believe how many people really liked my photos. People kept coming up to me and telling me, I'm an artist. I am an artist." So for the first time, she just saw herself as worthy, and she saw that she had hope. And she noticed that in the process of going through the project of seeing the evolution of her photos from the early days of just capturing her just incredible grief that she had towards the end of playing with her children and capturing, you know, beautiful shots of sunsets and sunrises and rainbows. And it was just really incredible. A guest at the reception sent me a text the next day, and this is what she had to say about Julia's art. "My goosebumps won't go away. The photography of Julia really touched me. It so perfectly demonstrated her tough life and choices, but I also saw a lot of hope in her photography, hope for both herself and her children." And so that just really came through So not only was her life touched by these photos, but also those who've had the opportunity to witness them. And that's what really the goal is of Photo Voice, is to through photos, to have the voices heard of those who are often oppressed and others don't necessarily have the opportunity to hear it. This way they get to see it.
I often think about how isolated we are from each other, especially people in different situations. How often, you know, during COVID especially, I feel like, how often do I interact with somebody who is not, you know, from my immediate circle? How often do I interact with somebody who is living on the street or in a wash or in a camp and get an opportunity to get to know them and talk to them? Like, that really doesn't happen. So this just sounds like an amazing project, you know, so strong. These images, I can just imagine them as you describe them. And I can't imagine, I have a 5-year-old, I can't imagine not having a place to live with my child, and much less trying to navigate that situation while mourning the death of a child. So it's just tremendous strength on her part.
We each have a story, and unfortunately, it's typically only our inner circle that gets to hear that story. And then sometimes we decide which parts of it we want to tell. And I just really applaud the women who participated in this project to be vulnerable. They were not just telling their story, they were showing their story. And it was a powerful one that will remain powerful. And one of our goals with the project is not just that, you know, we did this great thing and these women learned how to use a camera and take great photos and kind of process some of the emotion that goes along with their storytelling, but to take their photos out and share them with others so others can have an understanding of, one, what it's like to be a single mom, and two, what it's like to be a single mom who's housing insecure. We've had exhibits pre-COVID with their art. We're looking forward to doing that again in the future. We have them displayed in various areas of our building for people to see. And we're looking at, you know, being able to do some things online. Also to be able to share them with our elected officials to remember the stories and the faces of real human beings that are behind the crisis of housing instability. It's just not about these statistics and numbers that we can talk about day in and day out, but real people who are living the experience right now, all the time, 24/7.
Beth, how has COVID-19 impacted your work at Our Family Services?
It's really almost probably easier to say how hasn't it impacted us, because that's a shorter list. We are just as busy as ever. COVID-19 has obviously had a huge economic impact on our community. For many of our lower wage earning community members, it's had a significant impact on them, losing their jobs, having their hours reduced, all of those kinds of things. We're really thankful, though, that we have received a number of the COVID-related grants that's allowed us to reach out to even more young people and families who are experiencing homelessness, some for the first time because of COVID-19. So, you know, from helping with eviction prevention to providing housing to those who are homeless, we just are just running to try to do all that we can do to help the community right now. Also, you know, much of our staff are doing their work from home, and we worked really hard to accommodate our staff who are also juggling homeschooling with their children and all the other stresses that they have that's been piled on because of COVID. Family members who have COVID-19 diagnosis, been hospitalized. We've had a couple of our staff lose family members because of COVID. Our goal is just, since the very beginning, has been to try to keep our staff and those we serve as safe as possible, and also to increase the number of people that we're serving, and we're doing that.
What are some of the ways that Tucson is working or could work on homelessness from an institutional level and also from an individual level? I'm sure there are lots of people who are listening to this interview wondering, what can I do to help?
I think the one thing that Tucson can do as a community, and it's an area that our family services is part of with other nonprofit organizations and some local residents, is the idea around a living wage. helping to look at the barriers and challenges that plunge and keep people in poverty, which then makes them housing insecure. So really working on looking at how can we do that as a community to lift wages up so folks aren't having to spend 80 and 90% of their income on their housing. Another significant barrier that's been identified by the people that we serve is limited access to quality childcare and early child education. And again, that's something that we're working on along with a group of other nonprofits and individuals to try to make access to quality early childhood education a possibility. So I think addressing the low-paying jobs in early childhood education would come up really a long ways in reducing housing stability and increasing, along with the need to increase the pool of affordable housing options. So in answer to what can individuals do, I think one is to become educated about poverty and homelessness in our community, listen to the stories, find out what the stories are behind each individual. Of course, make financial contributions to organizations who are doing the work, such as our family services and others. There's often other opportunities for volunteerism, conducting drives, often, you know, families, neighborhoods, faith organizations like to get involved by making contributions. So doing a drive for things such as diapers, hygiene products, cleaning supplies are obviously in high demand right now. Gift cards for grocery shopping, those kinds of things. So getting engaged from a sense of philanthropy, whether that's a small dollar amount or a large dollar amount. Right now, we all need all the support we can get to help support the increasing number of individuals and families who are seeking our services.
Beth, tell us about the Center for Community Dialogue and Training.
The Center for Community Dialogue and Training is one of the program areas of our family services. It is not one that is directly serving homeless individuals, but really serving the greater community. Its mission is to help Southern Arizonans discuss challenging issues in a skilled, civil, and respectful way through mediation, facilitation, communication trainings, and events that build skills and spread constructive dialogue. And we do that by providing conflict resolution workshops. We do community mediations, could be between neighbors. It could be between individuals. It might be between family members, landlord, tenant, all kinds of folks who are not able to find agreement on their own. We have staff and trained volunteers who can do those mediations. We also offer up community forums. We had a pre-election community forum and a post-election community forum that was just all about how do we come together as a divided community to find our common ground and work through the lack of civility, within the election cycle. So that's just as one example. And then we also offer strategic planning services to Southern Arizona and beyond, really all of these services. Right now, we have folks who are attending many of our trainings from out of state. We even had somebody from Canada attend one of our facilitation trainings because all of our trainings right now are being done online. As well as some mediations are online, some of those are being conducted in person. So it's really a really wonderful resource for our community, and unfortunately kind of one of our best kept secrets. But I really encourage people to, listeners, to go onto our website at ourfamilieservices.org, and you can learn about all of our services, but to click on to the Center for Community Dialogue and Training to learn more, especially if you are interested in receiving some training on communication and civil discourse.
Beth, it occurs to me that you might be a great person to ask about what kind of advice you have for friends and family who are on opposite sides of the political spectrum to be able to have dialogue.
Sometimes it's just putting it out there that we know that we are on separate ends of the political spectrum, and maybe that we're just not even going to talk about it, you know, but putting it out there that, you know, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's my birthday, you know, and it's like this is a celebration time. So maybe just kind of throwing it out there so everybody can put it aside. But I think other times is maybe finding the time and saying, you know, I love you. I enjoy being around you. I struggle with the fact that you are opposite of me. And I just really want to try to have a conversation to understand where you're coming from. But it's also important that you understand where I'm coming from. And see if maybe without a lot of people around, you know, it's not always typically a good time to have political conversations over the Thanksgiving dinner table. But maybe one-on-one with a family member, there's an opportunity to just to sit down and have a conversation. But then, you know, also maybe starting that off a little bit is that we may just have to end this with the fact that we are just going to agree to disagree. And I think that's something that's gotten lost a lot in the last couple years is it's okay to disagree, but let's disagree respectfully.
Beth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to just have an opportunity to, again, give voice, hopefully, to some folks who don't necessarily have that opportunity that I have.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath and their gallery Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at will call, they're currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.